So when we celebrate the feast of the baptism, we celebrate this conundrum, because what we have is John the Baptist standing in the place of the temple. The temple was the place where people would go to have their sins forgiven by offering various sacrifices and paying the priest to perform them on behalf of the people. And there were these ritual baths that were located in the forecourt and at the entrances to the temple, so people would wash themselves and cleanse themselves in order to be purified and able to go in to offer their sacrifices, to simply present themselves before God and the glory of God. But now, the people weren't going to the temple. Now they were going out into the wilderness, out into the Jordan, to be baptized. And why? Because they acknowledged that they were sinners. They acknowledged that they needed to be forgiven and to be healed. They acknowledged that they couldn't make it on their own. And so when Jesus turns up, it's a scandalous situation. Is Jesus saying that he's a sinner? Is Jesus saying that he needs to repent and turn away from what? Being too good, from being too perfect, from making the rest of us look so terrible? Is that what he's repenting from? Who knows? And he's there offering himself. And when John tries to dissuade him, when John says, no, don't do this. It's just going to look bad and the church is going to have to explain it for the rest of history. Jesus says, no, just let it be the case. Let it be so that all righteousness will be fulfilled. And so Jesus goes down into the midst of the waters, surrounded by all the sinners. It's kind of appropriate that he begins his public ministry in the same way that he ends it, just as he died on the cross, surrounded by other sinners, other brigands, other zealots, others who had tried to stand in the way of the Roman opposition. So he begins his ministry identifying and being in the very midst of sin, being caught up in the very heart of that experience that every one of us knows about. And when Matthew sees this happening, he understands that all of this is happening ultimately to fulfill the scriptures, and particularly the prophecies of Isaiah. Matthew returns again and again to the prophet Isaiah, and he sees in the various ministries and actions and the prophetic signs that Jesus does, these particular prophecies from Isaiah. And here from the first of the servant songs, the first of the four servant songs from Isaiah 42, Matthew doesn't quote from it right here at the baptism scene, but he waits until Jesus is doing this healing ministry later in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And there he will quote quite extensively from the prophecy that we heard as our first reading. This powerful sign of this servant, this king who's offering his very existence in order to be a demonstration and a sign for all the people. And it's an interesting thing that we're told that this servant is not going to cry aloud in the street. He's not going to be someone who will make this big splash. But he's going to be this sign of the breaking in of the kingdom by the power of goodness, by the power of compassion, by the power of the healing that he will be able to bring. He uses two images. The first is of the flame. And we know that a candle is something that can be so fragile. I mean, here just in the air conditioning of the church, it's kind of bobbing and waving around. We know that it's able to be snuffed out so quickly, so easily. You know, even a child is able to blow out the candles on their birthday cake most of the time. And so it's this beautiful kind of image, because when the flame is wavering, when it's under stress, the prophecy says the Lord will not quench that wavering flame. Another translation will say that he won't snuff out the smoldering wick. It's that powerful indication of the tenderness of our God. The God who knows that sometimes our lives are just as fragile as this candle. It's a beautiful thing to be able to be a bearer of light, to be a source of light in a world, just as we light the Easter candle and we continue to light the candle at our own baptism as a reminder, perhaps, of this prophecy. It's this call to be a source of light in the world, but it's a source of light that is going to be challenged. It's a source of light that won't have it always easy to be a constant burning sign in the world. He uses another image as well of the reed that is there. This reed, I grabbed down from the river yesterday, has been bruised. It's been bent. It's out of shape. You know, it's fine. It's all well and good. But again, it's this kind of sign and symbol of our lives that are sometimes like this, are sometimes quite destroyed, it seems. There's so many things that have happened in our hearts, in our lives, that we can just feel so badly pressed in from every side. But the Lord says in His tenderness that He will not break the reed that has been bruised or broken. That He will care for us. He will tenderly carry us. He will continue to be that sign and witness. As we're told at the end of the story from the Acts of the Apostles, when the mystery that we celebrated last week of the gospel being opened up to not just one people and one nation, not just to Israel, but to the Gentile peoples. And here with the baptism of Cornelius, this Roman centurion, this foreigner, this Gentile, we're beginning to see that the kingdom of God is beginning to be carried out beyond the boundaries of just one nation. And it's that sign that the Lord will constantly be in the midst of all of the things that we do. The Lord will be part of our lives. The Lord will call us and carry us to be this evangelizing people. But sometimes we don't feel worthy. Sometimes we don't even feel capable of doing the things that we know we are called to do. We're like this reed that's bruised and bent and a bit out of shape. But the Lord will say and speak into our lives, do not be afraid of those things. Do not be afraid of those elements in your life that seem to be dark and wounded and bruised. I will be there. I will walk with you. I will guide you. I will call you constantly into life so that you can be that source of light. You can be the sign in the world that I want you to be. Trust me and walk with me this year as together we journey as the people of God.